Well, that was a big build-up. I'm going to have to live up to that now, aren't I? I think when Mark was introducing, one of the things we are here, we're very word-based in the way we operate. We like what we do to be compared to what's in the Word, and we're trying to do things properly. And I always say this, and sometimes people tell me off for this, but I'm never frightened of being challenged on what I say, because you need to challenge stuff according to what the Bible teaches. And if you think it's differently, come and talk to me later and you'll realise I'm right. No. It's a bit like the Brian Clough philosophy, that, really. But we need to. It says, doesn't it, when Paul went to preach somewhere, the Bereans searched the scriptures to see if what he said was true. And so that's what you should do all the time. You should check out anyone preaching from the front here, irrespective of who they're, whether it's Mark, who's the leader of this house. We've got to check out, is it right? Because we want our lives to be based on the Bible, not on people's ideas, don't we? So I'm never frightened of being challenged on what's in here. If I get it wrong, that's okay. You need to challenge me about it. I'm going to talk about something today that affects everyone. No escape from this one. It affects everyone. I'm going to talk about what the Bible says about the past, what it teaches us about the past. We're all influenced, aren't we, by our past? Where we were brought up. I'm very much Mancunian. Born in St. Mary's Hospital in Manchester. Some of you may have been born there, yeah, waving at me. But my parents were Irish. You might have guessed that by my surname, Kelly. So in a sense, I've got that. I'm very much Mancunian, but Irish tradition in my family. The first place I ever lived was Hume. Quite interesting. It's probably why I ended up supporting United, Karen. It was only up the road. My brothers took me. But it was interesting. My son came to live with me some time ago. He got a job working for the Royal Bank of Scotland in Manchester, and he was living in Stafford, and he came and lived with us for a time. And then he moved out to share a flat with his mate. Him and his mate were getting a flat, and he said, "Dad, can you give me a lift with all my stuff and take me?" So I said, "Yeah, where is it?" He said, "It's in Castlefield." I'm like, "Where's that?" So I started driving him, following my sat nav, and ended up down a road I used to work on called Hume Road. And I said, "This is Hume, it's not Castlefield. They just renamed it." In my earlier days, I lived in Hume. We then moved to Moston. Very pleasant experience of living in Moston. Our house used to back onto fields where I played football. Some of you, I'm looking around, oh, Phil probably will know. Some of you older City fans, I played football with a lad called Stan Bowles. You ever heard of him, Phil? Yeah. He was a decent player, wasn't he? Him and his brother Steve I played football with when I lived in Moston. We're all actually influenced either by what our parents taught us, where we grew up, things that happened to us. Sometimes it can be good and bad looking at the past. What does the Bible say about it? Well, first of all, we must not allow it to become our focus. Okay? What do I mean by that? Some of us are trapped in the past. We live in the past. Either we look to bad experiences in the past that we keep revisiting and beating ourselves up because we got things wrong. Or we live on good experiences and think, "I wish I was there again. I wish I could be that." I stopped playing football about 5 years ago. I was still playing five-a-side. Because in my head, I was 18, but my body was 50-odd. 60 now, yeah. Yeah, nearly. Yeah, I'm still better than most of you lot, no. But you think you can do things and your body tells you you can't. We can't live in the past. And if we do, we're in danger of actually missing out on the present. My brother used to say to me all the time, and it always stuck me, that little saying, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." Today. You can't, I often say this, you can't alter the past. You can learn from it, but you can't alter it. And some of us, and I know many of you in recovery, often are encouraged to look at the past. I was looking up, trying to look at this before Is it step 8 talks about making recompense to those you offended? It is, isn't it? And sometimes we can focus on what we did badly and think, oh no. But all you can do is look at the negative and determine to be positive and not be like that again. I have things in my past, if I was really honest about it, I'm embarrassed about some of the stuff I did. I wouldn't want to share it from here because it doesn't glorify anyone. And sometimes you get together with people who lived in those days with you, celebrate, in my case, violence. You think, there's nothing to be proud about there. But some people focus on the past. Philippians 3:13, can you put that up for me, Cain? This is Paul talking. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Whatever you've done in your past, and you can't escape it, it's there. Don't let it dictate your future. Don't let the past hold you to ransom and tell you that little voice, you can never escape, you can never be any different, you'll never be any better. That's wrong. We can all change. I'm here today, somebody who's changed. I'm not living in what I used to do. I'm not making the mistakes I used to do. It doesn't mean I'm perfect, still make mistakes. But we've got to move on, haven't we? We've got to move on. We can't focus on the past and allow it to colour our lives. We've got hurts, regrets maybe. Maybe we've still suffering the consequence of our action. Every action has a consequence, doesn't it? Whatever we did in the past, sometimes the consequence follows us. We can't get away from it. Maybe you've got disappointments, missed opportunities. Listen to this bit. If you focus on them, you'll become negative and bitter. If you start, what I should have done, could have done, would have done. Well, you can't now, can you? It's all gone. Time to step away from it, some of you. Time to step away from the stuff that clings on to you and you keep saying, oh no, I wish I hadn't have done that. Don't get trapped in it. We must not allow it to become our focus. We can learn from it. Somebody asked me a time ago, I can't remember, I was at a conference or something, about church leadership. What do you do in your church? And as Mark has hinted at, I'm obviously got a few years now and a bit of experience. I've had that letter in the post, you know, claim your pension. Amazing, I didn't think you'd claim it at 40. So I'm ish, yeah. I'm moving towards 66 this year. Hooray, 66. But when this person asked me about leadership, I said, I've been involved in leadership in a lot of churches. I went to Balmoral College in 1979. We're going back in time there. I led my first church in 1981. Or 82. Then involved in a leadership team that had a church of 1,000 strong. But I've seen some negative stuff, and what I've learned is, I know what's wrong and I want to do what's right. So if you've got stuff in the past, you know, if you're old enough now and your moral code's changed, you know what's right and what's wrong. Don't do the negative, do the positive. Make people aware that actually there's a different way of doing it. We must not allow it to become our focus. Turn my notes over, eh? Any of you seen the movie Dead Poets Society? What was the phrase, Andrew? Which means, seize the day. Seize the day today. Don't keep going on and on about the past. We need a positive attitude to seize today and do all the things we can do. Sang that song, I love that song. It's your breath in our lungs. God has given us breath for today to seize the day. Not to live in the past, today. Today's an opportunity to be kind to people, to be generous. Maybe do the things you didn't do in the past. Today's the day to do them. You can learn and say, okay, I'm not going to do the negative anymore. I'm going to do the positive. Fantastic. Second thing, first thing, we must not allow the past to become our focus. The past can be a focus for rejoicing. Wow. What does he mean by that? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, he, she. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Let me tell you something that's amazing. We are not who we were. I'm not the person who did all those naughty things I shouldn't have done. I've changed. It's a time for rejoicing to say, actually, God has given us the ability to be new people. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Wow. What a fantastic opportunity to actually change. We are not restricted to the person we were 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, are we? I hope not. Although we still have some people who act as though they're old in age, but very immature in their actions. Paul says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put foolish or childish things away. As we mature, we should stop behaving like children. Shouldn't be having outbursts and tantrums. Maybe you don't give me that. Spiritually, we can have people who do that. Throw a tantrum. Why? We're supposed to be mature. I love this illustration. It said of a Christian counsellor, he had a man coming to him who wanted to change his behaviour and his style. He was about 40 odd years old. And he said to the guy, look, I know you're trying to help me, but you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And the counsellor said, yeah, but you're not a dog. We're people, we're human beings with the Spirit of Christ in us who can alter what we do. If we choose to, we've got to comply with it, haven't we? Our will has got to say, yes, I want to do it. So, whenever you hit a problem, and Ray was talking this morning about giants, we've all got situations that come against us. Doesn't mean because we're Christians, everything's hunky-dory. Wish the gospel was like that, Mark, but it isn't, is it? We have stuff that hits us, but we can either choose to say, no, I'm not having it, it's not going to dominate me, I'm going to be that new creation with a new attitude and new spirit. When we're singing that song about it's your breath in our lungs, and we sung that, I'll raise a hallelujah. Not sure if you know what that means, but I'll explain it just in case. Hallel is the Hebrew word for glory, and Yah is a shortened version of Yahweh. Glory to Yahweh, or glory to God. I'll raise a hallelujah. I'll say, glory to God. What? When the bailiffs come knocking on your door, and when your family fall out with you, when sickness hits you, you've got to go glory to God. Sometimes it's not easy. But the more we train ourselves to respond to the spiritual bit, the better we'll become. I'll leave you this one to think about. I often say it, but I'll remind you again. We are not just shaped for this world. There's more to come. And sometimes our sufferings are just temporary. There's more to come. The past can be a focus for rejoicing. Lastly, one act remembered in the past is the key. It's gone now. What were you doing when we were breaking bread? What was all that about? Sue sat in the front. I don't know how many questions I can ask this morning. She tells me off. What's breaking the bread about? What does it say we're doing when we break bread? We're remembering the past. We're remembering a past event. Without the cross, everything else is rubbish. The one event in the past, if we remember it, it's the key. Whenever we hit broken times, whenever we fail, and I do, we sin, and I sort of say to myself, oh, what an idiot. And then I say, but actually, my sins are forgiven because of the cross. I remember the cross and think, mercy. I think it's Lamentations, isn't it? It says, his mercies are new every morning. What a thing. So whatever I did yesterday, and I might have been an idiot, today's a new day, and I can wake up and say, God, I thank you. My sins, which were many, have all been forgiven. That's what the cross is. Remembering the past and the cross. Isaiah 43:25, please, Cain. If you don't remember anything else this morning, here's a verse to take home. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. That's God speaking. Your friends might remember them and remind you. Your partner might remind you. But actually, God says, I've forgiven and I've forgotten your sins. Past, present, future, all of them, God has paid full price. That's something, if we remember that act in the past, it actually brings us release. Doesn't mean we can sin. Paul says, shall we carry on sinning that grace may abound? God forgive. God forbid. No, but it means we don't are not condemned either by our own conscience or by other people, because God doesn't condemn us. Actually, the biggest judge of all, God, says, don't worry about it. Even if your own head tells you, God's saying, don't worry about it. You cannot alter the past, but you can alter the person who is living in those scenes. You and me were there in the past, but I can alter me so I don't make that mistake again, or I don't have that behaviour again. Doesn't mean it won't come knocking at my door, because it does. Joshua 24:15. God had promised the Israelites a new land, Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. But they got fed up and moaned and groaned and spent 40 years wandering around the wilderness. I wish we were back in Egypt so we could die. They were really happy people. Only two of them actually ever got into the promised land from that generation, Joshua and Caleb. And as they went through, despite the fact God was with them, they still had to do some fighting, if you read the book of Joshua. So despite the fact God is with us, we still have to do stuff. Don't know if you realise that. You can sit at home all you like and say, the Holy Spirit lives within me. But you've got to do stuff. And they had to do it, and some of them weren't best pleased. Started to think about worshipping other gods. Joshua said this, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice. Do you want to step back into your old habits and let them catch up with you? It's a choice. You can if you like. Do you want to go back there? Oh, I want to visit the past. I think I'll go out with my mates again. Rob a few people, break into a few houses. Hit a few people. Hope the police don't catch me. No, not really. No, thanks. I used to do that. Don't do that anymore. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose to be the person trapped in those past events, or choose to be the person not restricted by their past. Which is it? Which do you want? See, God says, actually, as far as he's concerned, he's given us a new opportunity. A new beginning. Mark read from Genesis. Genesis 2:7 says, God breathed into Adam and he became a living spirit. God's given us the breath of life. God has given us opportunity to do good. As much as we have opportunity, the Bible says, let us do good. Incidentally, it says the next bit, especially to the household of faith. We should be doing good to each other. If we can't do good to each other, we're going to struggle with those outside, aren't we? Jesus said, by this will all men know you are my disciples if you love one another. Does that mean we've got to like everyone? No, not really. And it's a faith thing. I'm looking at some of you, and bet you're looking at me thinking, love him? You've got to be kidding. The Holy Spirit's got to help us, because naturally sometimes we can't do it. And we're very strange people. Because if you ever go to a social gathering and meet people for the first time, I guarantee many of us will instantly make a decision about what we think about a person. We don't know them. Well, I don't like him. I'm not going to talk to him again. He's had it. Don't like her. Oh, she's great. He's nice. Instantly, we've made a decision based on no rationale at all or no information. Because that's how we are. But actually, what we can do is allow God to give us insight. To give us that feeling sometimes you can't quantify that says, I just don't feel at ease with this guy. I'll finish with this illustration. I think I've shared it before, but you are what you are. I can't change my past, so the only illustrations I've got are those that I've lived through. I was asked when I was part of a leadership team. There were two guys in the town. It was in Nottingham at the time. I lived in Nottingham for 15 years. Who were preaching and teaching and seemed really good. And my senior minister, David Sherman, said, I want you to go listen to these guys and see what you make of it. I said, fine. So I went and listened to these guys, two Canadian guys. Very articulate, preached a lot of stuff from the Bible. Came back and David said, so what did you make of it? I said, it didn't feel like they said anything wrong, but something's not right. I just feel it's not right. In here, something's not right. What they sound like seems good. Eventually, they were exposed as, inverted commas, con men, looking for people to give them money. I'll give you my bank account details later. No. But sometimes you've got to trust that spiritual bit in you. God has given us an ability to discern stuff, to understand stuff. And if you're not sure, say, God, help me, I don't get it. Give me what's going on here. Did you know, I'll use a big word now. God is omniscient. What does that mean? A bit louder. He's not ever-present. That's omnipresent. Omni is the Latin means all. Science, knowing. That's why I have science. Omni. He knows everything. Because God knows everything, if I'm saying, I don't know what's going on here, he said, I know what's going on. I can tell you. It's what we call words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I'll finish. Time's gone. What does the Bible teach us about the past? We must not allow it to become our focus. Don't get trapped in it. We can focus on it as a rejoicing because we have been made new creations. What I was, the negative stuff, I'm no more. That's a point for rejoicing. And lastly, one act in the past is the key, the cross. Thank you for listening.